Today on Real Radio.
It says that Jesus used this illustration. It's not a parable, by the way. It's a different word. Parabolos is for parable. This is a different word, illustration. He used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them of. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Two things. He's speaking to his opponents, the scribes and Pharisees, but there's a surrounding audience. The audience is being blessed. His opponents are not listening. And aren't you glad that Jesus teaches us and he teaches us again? Does he have to do that in your life? He does it in mine. Jack, sit down. I'm going to tell you again. What? You know what? It takes me a while. I'm slow. Once I get it, I got it. It takes me a long time to get it, though.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through the Gospel of John, chapter 10. We're in a sub-series, as it were, called Are You a Sheep?, where Jesus used the term sheep as a metaphor to describe his followers. It's a question that has more than one implication. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
We see here in verses 4 to 5 that Jesus guides his own. Jesus guides his own sheep. It says when he brings them out, that is his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him. It just naturally happens. For they know his voice, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Number one, jot it down, circle it. He goes ahead of them. Yes, he goes ahead of them. But take note of this. It says that he brings out his sheep. The word bring out or to bring is a wonderful word in the Greek. You might want to jot it down. It's, if I can put it this way, a wonderfully violent word. You say, what? Yeah, just like the word caught up or rapture or in the Greek, harpazo. Don't you love that word? The rapture in the Bible is harpazo. Sounds like something to eat. It means to be violently removed or taken away. When he calls out his own, listen, he wonderfully, violently removes them. So what do you mean by that? Listen, are you caught up into some religious form? Are you maybe sitting here this morning saying, you know what, I'm not quite sure if I like this place. I don't know if I like that guy. And besides, you know what, I'm a member of the First Baptocostal, and I don't even have to be here. You know, you're right, you don't have to be here. But maybe, just maybe God brought you here. Maybe, okay? And he wants you to hear something that will change your mind and change your trust from being one who says, well, I've been a member of the First Baptocostal, you know, since 49. And that's your trust, that's your hope. When in reality, your response should be, you know what? I'm a wretched, rotten sinner saved by the grace of God. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Outside of that, you can argue your theological Tweedledees from your Tweedledums. It's not going to matter. The awesome truth is, he not only goes ahead of us, but he removes us from dead religion. That's the context of the teaching. Jesus was removing them from the sheepfold of what the Pharisees had corrupted. They were to be the overseers of the flock of Israel to present them to the Messiah when he arrived. Did they? Nope. So Jesus is saying, I am going to wonderfully, violently remove those that are mine who hear my voice. I'm going to take them out of your fold and place them into my care. And you need to decide this morning if you've got a religious life, maybe you've grown up in a Christian home, and you think, well, that's it, come on. The Lord knows I've done my dues living underneath my parents. You know, sometimes I wonder what my kids think, being the pastor's kid, which I hate to even say that thing. I don't even like to think like that. But, you know, sometimes, you know, just by being near the work of God, that somehow you begin to think, well, you know, my dad's a pastor and my mom is, you know, the whatever and this and that. Surely I'm going to heaven. I don't know. Are you born again? Do you know it? Have you been born again by the Spirit of God? Do you know His voice? He guides His own along. Yes, He leads them out even forcefully because He loves them. Verse 5, and they recognize Him. We recognize Him. Everyone who is called by the Lord, who hears His voice, recognizes Jesus when He speaks. I love this. It says, yet they will by no means follow a stranger. By no means. That means it's not going to happen by trickery, by craftiness, or by deception. Will they follow Him? No, they won't do it. You and I have had the experience to see people give their heart to Christ. They don't know anything about the Bible. Maybe John 3:16, because they've watched a football game. Maybe that, right? They accept Christ. And someone comes up to them and starts spouting off some false junk. And a brand new believer knows automatically, hey, something's wrong here. Just something's jiving. They can't turn in their Bible to what identifies it. They can't anyway speak it out of their mouth. But they know something's wrong. Do you know what I'm saying? Those of us who are Christians, we get almost callous to this wonderful truth, isn't it? In 1 John chapter 2, the scripture says there that we have received the anointing and that we have no need that any man teach us or guide us along. Why? The Spirit, Romans tells us, bears witness with our spirit, Holy Spirit with our spirit, that we are children of God. So a new believer can receive Jesus, become a lamb of God, become a sheep of His, and hear false doctrine and immediately recognize that this is false, won't follow a stranger because they know already the voice of the Master. You say, Jack, I don't know if that's even possible. I don't think I believe you. This is a spiritual truth. And only those of us who have received Christ know what I'm talking about. And those who have not, you think this is a fairy tale. Well, how do you hear Him? That's a good question. I know that I hear Him in my mind with Scripture. I'll be doing something, thinking something, or whatever, listening to somebody, and I'll hear a verse or a string of verses go through my head. And the Lord is speaking to me regarding that counseling or that person or whatever it is. Or maybe I'm doing something I ought not to be doing, and the Lord speaks to me. Now, how do I hear Him? Jack, you bum! No, I hear in my head my own voice. And you say, well, that's nothing. I hear that all the time. The difference is it's pure truth and you know it. It's like, yikes, this is not for me. It's wild. You say, man, you're kind of wigging me out. Oh, hey, His sheep know His voice. They won't follow a stranger. Not only that, His sheep, they have confidence in Him. Now, talking about that poor little duck, or that gigantic jumbo duck, actually, I don't think that duck, he didn't look very confident to me out on the open road. And I don't think a lamb away from the flock is very confident either. Have you ever seen them? Have you ever watched them? Those of you who've maybe gone through the hills, I know throughout the state park they'll graze sheep. If one gets away from the rest of the group, he just starts crying and crying. They get really insecure. They get jittery and shaky. It's rather comical, actually. Why? Because our confidence is in our shepherd. How do you think David knocked down a giant? He was just a little shepherd boy. Well, he trusted in his shepherd. David didn't see himself as the shepherd. He saw himself as one of the lambs of God. And he rested in that place, confident in the Lord. Jesus goes so far to say that they won't follow somebody else. They just won't do it. And He warns us, by the way. We can be so confident. Listen to this. We can be so confident that in Matthew 7, verse 15, Jesus says, beware of false prophets. Listen. Who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruit. Okay, people, did you hear that verse? First of all, Jesus says, beware of false teachers or shepherds or sheep. Undercover. They got wool on. People don't like to hear this in a church, but if God is doing a work, is God doing a work in your life? If God's doing a work in your life, then are you ready for this? Expect attack. Listen, are you a Christian? If you're standing up for the Lord, if you're doing God's work, expect attack, and listen, expect it from every direction. In your home, with your kids, with those that you work with, whatever the case, health, finances, expect an attack. Well, no, man, I'm not going to sign up today for that ministry, I'll tell you that. Here's the cool thing about a sheep. A sheep says, you know what? I'm not going to wimp out. I may be a lamb, but I tell you, my shepherd is awesome, and greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm signing up. I'm going to be a little lamb with a helmet on. I'm going for it. And you do that. You don't cower away. His sheep don't cower back and say, oh, no, you know, I just... And they claim to be Christian. There are people who claim to be Christian. Well, how long have you been a Christian? Oh, 15 years. 15 years and you're still in your Pampers spiritually. You know, you're into Huggies and milk. You've been a Christian for 15 years, but you've got maybe 1 year experience for 15 years. I'd rather be 15 years old in the Lord and have 15 years at least experience. Isn't it radical that our Christian existence is such a strange contradiction? We're soldiers, but we're the bride. You know, we're lambs, but we're to be attacking the world. You know, it's awesome. See a lamb out there, you know, whoa. What a lamb there, you know? We're to be confident in him. Listen, Jesus warned that there would be wolves wearing sheep's clothing. And he also said, listen, he said, check the fruit of them. I'm going to use a word that is right. Our pathetic American has nothing to do with English. The word is judge them. Oh, I thought we weren't supposed to judge anybody. No, that word is condemn. We're not supposed to condemn anyone. We have no authority. But to judge them is to simply, gently examine. I like, you know, Greg Laurie for years has put it this way. Be a fruit inspector. That's a very nice way of saying judge them. You look at somebody, they say, oh, I'm a Christian. And they're shooting up and they've got, you know, bubbles in one hand and you know, they're living for themselves. You know, there's strong reasons to doubt where they're at. And whenever you say, you know, you said you're a Christian, but look at you, man, you're strung out on drugs. You're living with this woman. You never read your Bible. I've known you for 4 years. This is the way that you are. My friend, I have a hard time. I don't see the fruit. I've looked under the wool and there's nothing there. And you know what they say? You're judging me. No, that's exactly what we're called to do. We're condemning no one. In fact, what we would say to our brother who's in that condition is say, please turn around. Come on, get away from her. Get away from this. Come with me. We love them. We're not condemning them. But we're looking at the fruit. Jesus says, beware to do that. Why? Listen, watch the body. Wherever God is doing a work, as I said, there's going to be a problem because Satan can't stand it. And here's how you identify people that are, I'll put it this way, strangers. I'll put that gently. Could be a wolf, could be somebody who's ignorant, not knowing the Bible well. But whoever they are, they send your antennae up of warning. And what do? They're in a body of believers, and you'll notice that wherever they go, there's a trail of confusion. People will be confused after talking with them. They irritate sheep. They can't get along with anybody. They're abrasive on everyone. And wherever they go, the sheep leave. Instead of the fellowship of the flock coming together, they go away. They upset the flock. Many of you have had, and I thank God I have not. I've come from one church. I praise God for the pastor that I had and have. I have known nothing of division. I've known nothing of internal strife. I've known nothing of that stuff. But many of you have got a different story. And you'll see a wonderful church that's doing its part in the family of God for the work of the Lord, for the kingdom, and somebody comes on staff, or somebody comes in the service of the saints, and something begins to happen, and a year or two or five later, that church doesn't even exist anymore, or it's completely flipped upside down. I have a friend that I'm going through this right now, whose ministry that he was serving in is completely flipped upside down on its belief now. We no longer believe that the Bible is the inerrant word of God. They sent out a memo. This is a denomination. Man, people are jumping ship like people jumping ship. And they ought to. These are the last days. It's a radical time. I'm getting too excited about this point. We'll be moving on. Number four, our fourth point, Jesus teaches his own. I love it. Verse 6, Jesus teaches his own. It says that Jesus used this illustration. It's not a parable, by the way. It's a different word. Parabolos is for parable. This is a different word, illustration. He used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them of. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Two things. He's speaking to his opponents, the scribes and Pharisees, but there's a surrounding audience. The audience is being blessed. His opponents are not listening. And aren't you glad that Jesus teaches us and he teaches us again? Does he have to do that in your life? He does it in mine. Jack, sit down. I'm going to tell you again. What? You know what? It takes me a while. I'm slow. Once I get it, I got it. It takes me a long time to get it, though. Jack, I'm going to teach you again. Does he ever talk to you like that? Mary, sit down, you know. Bob, sit down. I'm going to tell you this again. I find it both interesting and I am grateful that there are four gospels. He says, yeah, I've always wondered about that. Why are there four gospels? Well, each personality, by the way, of each author spins that gospel a little, he sees it a little bit different, yet in perfect harmony, because the scripture is given by the Holy Spirit. And one will highlight certain things that the other one will leave out or speak briefly on. So when you read the four gospels, you get, as it were, a 3D, should I say 4D? You get a 4D view of the truth of God. He teaches us, Matthew. He teaches us again, Mark, and so on. Aren't you glad? Whatever is spoken of in the old is completed in the new. He teaches us again. Not only that, we see that he affirms his position. Most assuredly, he says, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Now look, this calls for a very technical description. I want you to kind of picture this in your head like I did. You've got a square. Picture a square. And at the end of one of those walls of that square, you've got a little opening. Well, as you can see, that very advanced drawing there. What's the matter with it? I think it's beautiful. The sheep are inside the fold. The doorway, that's the entrance. Jesus is both the doorway and he's the door, as you can see. That's the authoritative proof. He's right there. He is the door. Listen, at night, the door, Jesus, goes over to the doorway. He becomes one and the same. At night, he would lay down, as a shepherd, he would lay down in the opening. The sheep are safe on the inside. This is quite amazing. In historical writings, there have been men who camped out for commentary's sake, for writing, for authoring. They have sat down with these guys. They have fallen asleep and watched these men. And when something stirred them, or if a wolf tried to get in, or an animal, those guys came up off their back like a ninja guy with their staff and their rod in absolute attack mode. They looked like an egg beater, man, when they would jump up. And they didn't care, listen, at that moment of being awoken, they didn't care if there was a wolf attack or a lamb was trying to get out. It didn't matter, because the door becomes absolute. The door stops. What's going on? And so if a lamb is trying to get out, The shepherd jumps up and stops that lamb from getting out. If a wolf is trying to get in, the shepherd jumps up and stops that wolf. What's the point? The point is, you know, I don't worry about those on the outside. I don't worry about them. Someone's french fries are ready or something. Your beeper's going off. I don't worry about those on the outside. Jesus will well take care of them. On the inside, I find it most comforting that when a lamb tries to get over, he rises to the occasion to stop. And have you ever heard someone ask or heard someone say, you know, I read somewhere in the Bible that there's a verse that says that you know, we're so safe that we would have to stomp or tromp or go over the body of Jesus Christ. Well, there's not exactly a verse that says that, to stomp or tromp or go over the body of Jesus Christ, but John chapter 10 teaches it. For you to get outside the fold, you would have to leap over one who jumps as you are in midstream. I mean, you're like, I'm going to rebel. And whing, man, he gets up and wah, 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 boom. And you're just lamb chopped there. And he makes sure that you stay in the fold. By the way, a sheep, a person who's been converted, will abide in Christ, John 15. A person who abides in Christ never has to worry about bearing fruit. Why? Because the Lord dwells within us. He's going to produce fruit. You never have to worry about being deceived because we know his voice. We won't follow a stranger. We follow the Lord. You don't have to worry about, you know, in the judgment day, am I going to make it or not? You're going to make it. In fact, Peter says an abundant entrance is going to be open for you. It's awesome. Now, if you know that you're a lamb, just be one, will you? I think Satan gets us sitting on a rock thinking, am I a lamb or am I not a lamb? Am I a lamb or am I not a lamb? And if he can get you to sit there and nurse your emotions for the rest of your life, you know what? You are sterile in the kingdom. You're not going to be effective. But if you say, you know what? I've received Christ. I've asked him into my heart. Have you done that? Have you asked him to forgive you of your sins? Now you're his. He will keep you. You'll notice that you'll be awoken to the reality of, you know, I want to read the Bible. I want to know what the things of God are all about. He affirms his position. It's beautiful. It's awesome. Fifth and final point, verses 8 through 10, we'll be done with this. Jesus saves his own. He's faithful to do that. In verse 8, it says, all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers. I sure would have hated to have been a Pharisee on the other side of those words.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Coming to the end of a sub-series, we might call it, called Are You a Sheep? It's a look at the first 10 verses of John chapter 1, where the use of the metaphor sheep is applied to God's people. There's actually more of this presentation, but due to time restrictions, we're not able to present the entire study. But of course, you can get in touch with us here at Real Radio and order your own audio copy. Here's our phone number, area code 909-393-7100, or we'd like to direct your attention to our own realradioactive.org. At realradioactive.org, you'll be able to keep up with everything going on here at Real Radio, as well as Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. That's realradioactive.org. If you prefer calling, our number once again is area code 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and continues communicating the gospel on the radio because of your financial participation. So we invite you to prayerfully consider partnering with us. You can send a one-time gift or become a regular contributor. No gift is too large or too small. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, if you weren't able to catch all that contact information, remember you can always locate it on our website, realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio in Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.